This is the Jason Jones Show, powered by Mudhouse Media. Now, here's Jason Jones.
Aloha, everybody, and welcome to the Jason Jones Show. I am your host, Jason Jones, broadcasting on the road. It is going to be a summer of action. I will be traveling all over the world, but I don't want to slow down. I've been slowing down on the show because I've been traveling, so we're just going to pick up the pace a bit. Today, we're going to be getting caught up with the great John Zmirak, but before we do, writing over there at the stream, which should be the first place you go every morning when you're reading the day's news, is stream.org. But before we catch up with John, the show is being brought to you by MyPillow.com. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the code Jones. Father's Day is coming up, and get your pop the best pillow in the world, the best gift in the world. And there are deep discounts on all those products when you use the magic word, and it's Jones. And if you aren't subscribing to Epic Times, Epoch Times, Epic Times, I don't know what you're doing. If you're not subscribed to Epic Times, I don't know what you're doing. Go over there to iReadEpoch.com and use the code Jason Jones for immense savings on your subscription. So go on over there. And this episode, as always, is being brought to you by the Vulnerable People Project. We need monthly donors. We are campaigning for monthly donors. We're being overwhelmed. Right now, this week, we picked up 240 more high-value targets that another organization let out into the street that we're going to have to house and feed and protect. These are fighter pilots, assets that served along, worked for the United States military, our intelligence agencies, abandoned to their death. We just picked up another 240 to care for. We have 2,000 orphans, women and children in shelters in Western Ukraine. We're building a medical center in a remote area of rural Afghanistan that suffered tremendously since our withdrawal, and also drilling wells. We can only do that with your support. So go to thegreatcampaign.org, become a monthly donor, and you get The Race to Save Our Century, written by today's guest, John Zmirak, and myself. So thegreatcampaign.org. John Zmirak, welcome to the Jason Jones Show.
What you said earlier about the Epoch Times, they are my newspaper of record. They are the only newspaper that consistently reported the truth about the 2020 election, about the January 6th protests, about COVID, both the problems with the vaccine, the flaws in lockdown policy, the lab origins of the virus. They were the Hunter Biden laptop. These people were telling the truth when MSNBC and NBC News and even Fox News were lying. So I've subscribed to the Epoch Times, I think, on January 7th, 2021. And I read it all the time. My girlfriend gets a paper subscription. And I think you told me it's become the fourth largest paper in the country.
Yeah, I believe it's the fourth largest paper in the country. But I really believe that by election, by November 2024, it'll be the largest newspaper in America with the largest circulation. They're really courageous. You know, they have been standing toe-to-toe with the CCP now for decades, so they don't flinch. They don't scare easy. I actually, John, you and I write. I think we're courageous writers. We write things like a decade before. Yeah, why say it? Why say it if someone else is saying it? And
Right. It's often when I get that feeling in the pit of my stomach, ooh, I shouldn't say that. I know, okay, that's the one thing I have to say today.
Yeah, and I think if I was editor over there at Epic Times, I'd say I think I'd be saying you shouldn't say that more than they say that, because they are brave. they
yeah.
And you know, I'd met with some one of the executives over there at Epoch Times, and she was worried for my security because of the work that I do against the CCP, and she was giving me a list of measures that I need to take to protect my life. And she was earnest. She was actually traveling to cover, to meet with President Trump and Don Jr. when they were in Texas, asked if I could come meet her. I said I couldn't because it was my godson's sister's first communion. She said, as soon as the Trump event's over, I'm going to come and visit you. And so she drove up with her friend to this party for my godson's sister. And there she was, this Chinese lady from Epoch Times. She said she wanted to meet with me really just to walk me through the things that she thinks I need to do to protect myself, and then walk me through the horror stories that their staff, you know, has suffered, including people that have, you know, died at the hands of the CCP.
When you take on a totalitarian political movement that controls a billion people, that takes nerve. I mean, you know, you and I congratulate myself for flouting the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, but they don't have a secret police. They just have a bunch of gay Jesuits who might TP my apartment building and sing Broadway songs outside the door, but they're not going to assassinate me.
That would be a great, if they did that, it would make a great FaceTime Live.
That's true. I don't know how to use that FaceTime thingy because I'm an old guy, but
Well, John, I'm glad you said that. So I'm gonna say it again. I read epoch.com and the code is Jason Jones, and the discount's unbelievable. And I have been a subscriber for years, and I remember when they were just handing out their newsletters, and they earned their way to being the number four newspaper in America, well on their
Absolutely.
Way to being the number one.
I remember them being this quirky little anti-communist newspaper you picked up for free in little newspaper bins on the streets of New York City. And I was always like, oh, you go, guys. It reminded me of the Taiwanese nationalists who I used to go to their anti-communist events in high school. So I know more about Chinese communism than your average American, because I'm friends with priests who were tortured by the Chinese Communist Party. Anyway, what we face here in America with our oligarchy, our Democrats and establishment Republicans, it's a sort of pathetic wannabe Chinese Communist Party. It's kind of like a 14-year-old boy who LARPs as a Chinese as a Maoist Red Guard. I mean, they know where they want to go, and they're trying to grow up as fast as possible. Our elites really want something like a totalitarian state here in America, and they're just barely restraining themselves. I mean, the latest thing, of course, is the attempt to grab our guns. Now, you and I live in Texas, so we've seen this the impact of this recent school shooting a little more up close than most people. What staggered me about it was how much proof it is that we need our gun rights. This psychopathic student who had been behaving in really bizarre ways for years. Okay, so he is the child of a broken home. His mother is a druggie on welfare. He's being raised largely by his overwhelmed grandma. He's going to one of our public schools, which are nihilistic and wretched and have transgenderism in them. He dresses in drag, he cuts up his face, he makes violent threats on the internet, nothing gets done about it. He buys a gun because he doesn't have a criminal record and he hasn't been involuntarily committed. And those are the two things you need to fail a background check. You know, he didn't have either of those, so he was able to buy a gun. Somehow, I don't know how, he had $4,000 worth of military equipment. Two AR-15s that I couldn't afford, a much better optical than I use on my AR-15. Where did this unemployed high school student get all this? That just raises some red flags for me. But anyway, he's shooting up the school, and the police are crouching outside because they're scared of getting shot. The parents are trying to get into the school to go rescue their kids. The cops are stopping them. They handcuffed one woman. She convinced another cop to open the handcuffs, and she ran in and got her kids. Now, admittedly, a couple of cops went in and saved their own children, but they didn't try to save any of the others for 40 minutes. Imagine, there's gunfire going on for 40 minutes inside a school. You are a cop, and you do nothing. If I heard gunfire at a school and I had my gun, I would run in. It's a natural instinct. What is with these cops? And, you know, they actually had active shooter school shooting training 2 months ago. And the training said you must go in, you must confront, you must take down the shooter, you must engage as quickly as possible. And if you're not willing to risk your life, you're in the wrong line of work. This was all in the training, and they did the exact opposite. Border Patrol people showed up, and wanted to intervene, and the cops stopped them. And finally, one Border Patrol guy said, screw this, and he went in, and he's the one who stopped the shooter.
God bless that guy. No, you know, we have become a country of governed and policed in many instances by cowards. We saw that with the collapse of Afghanistan. You know, we're afraid to do the daring thing. When you look at the high altitude bombing that that Clinton ordered in the 90s that led to, you know, the forced pilots to commit war crimes when they wanted to do low altitude, very targeted bombings. And but they were ordered by their chain of command to do high altitude. At every level, there is those that are put in positions of political leadership over our police and military, order them to behave in a way that goes against their very nature. And I did not know that police ran in to get their own children. So they were handcuffing parents that wanted to get their own children. Well, they were going to get their own children and abandoning other people's children. This is absolutely unbelievable.
If they had let nature take its course, those parents who have guns, because we're in Texas, would have gone in and more kids would have been saved. The police, and I think I know what's going on. The memo has gone out that the police and the military exist to control the population, not to stop foreign invasion, not to battle tyrants like the Chinese communists. They exist to shoot people like Ashley Babbitt. They exist in order to arrest people like Jake Gardner and Kyle Rittenhouse, who try to defend themselves. The whole goal of the regime, of the oligarchy that controls us, is to take away our power, to make us helpless denizens of the state. Look at what happened during the George Floyd riots. City after city, they're burning neighborhoods down. A Marxist cult takes control of a large portion of Portland and Seattle. They form like an independent statelet. And what are the police there for? There to do? To stop citizens using weapons to defend themselves against riots. So this is what Sam Francis called a narco-tyranny, where the regime allows anarchy when it suits its political purpose, like tearing down statues and terrorizing conservatives and terrorizing Christians. And then if you push back against the regime, if you try to defend yourself, that's when tyranny kicks in. None of the people who burned cities during the George Floyd riots was punished, not one. Meanwhile, January 6th defendants who took selfies in the Capitol were in solitary confinement for months and are being subjected to Stalinist show trials in the District of Columbia with completely biased juries and basically very little defense. They have public defenders who sympathize with the prosecutors. We are seeing the first stages of a totalitarian state being imposed in America. And if we don't push back, we deserve it. This is like 1933. The Nazis are feeling their way. They're trying to see how much they can get away with. And everywhere, if they don't feel strong, immediate pushback, they push further. They remember this. The Biden administration was going to send National Guard units to PTA meetings to intimidate parents who objected to Marxist indoctrination of their students.
Yeah, no. When Leviathan comes for us, not one inch. When the anarcho-terrorists come for us, we battle them back. For our posterity, the consequences to us might be horrible, but the consequences for not running into a school to rescue your child is that they're dead. Right. And yeah, you might die going to rescue your child, but that's what parents should do. We might, spend life in prison defending our Constitution and our Republic from these tyrants. But it's not about us. It's about our posterity. You know, on Memorial Day, John, on Memorial Day, I didn't hear one political leader talk about those 13 warriors that died at the Abbey Gate explosion and that catastrophic withdrawal. It was all about taking our guns. They used Memorial Day as an excuse to talk about taking our guns. And I didn't hear anything about the sacrifice that 13 warriors made this past 12 months, died, not one word. They were not mentioned. Memorial Day is not about mourning the victims of violence in the United States. It's about remembering those who died in service of this country. We didn't talk about that. I guess they're not worth remembering.
Remember, Congressman Eric Swalwell has threatened to nuke the population. Joe Biden threatened to use
Remind me of that.
Eric Swalwell, who was sleeping with a Chinese spy but was on an important congressional committee, he said, "You Americans think you're going to have guns to resist a tyranny. Listen, we have nukes. We, the government, have nukes."
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
He said
that. That's cute.
Joe Biden said, "I don't know what use your AR-15 is going to be against our F-16s." Now, I don't think he knows what an F-16 is. It's a fighter jet. It would not be terribly useful against a population in revolt. I want to remind people, and I'm writing a book on this. Our founders included the Second Amendment to the Constitution as the last backstop against tyranny. If you read, Stephen Halbrook has a book, The Founder's Second Amendment, where he quotes founder after founder in the debate, in the ratification debates over the Bill of Rights. The regular refrain was, an armed citizenry is the final guarantee against tyranny. And how did the founders know that? Because it was an armed citizenry that overthrew the British. It was local militias that fought the Revolutionary War for the first year before the Continental Army was even organized. Local militias served a huge role in winning the Revolutionary War. The fact that every church had its own militia. This is how our country was created, by people who had had experience of religious persecution in England. And our Second Amendment was based on the English Bill of Rights. The English Bill of Rights was written into law in 1690, and it directly connected religious freedom with gun rights. It said no Protestant could be forbidden from carrying a weapon. And that was because Charles I and Charles II had persecuted Puritans. And so they wanted to make clear, we can defend our religious freedom with guns. That is the origin of American gun rights. It is a concern for religious liberty first and every other freedom after that. And that's what I'm writing about constantly at stream.org. And that's what my next book, which I'm currently finishing, is about.
And I'll put our God's Guns and Government long form article series in the show notes. Yeah, it's a mistake. Yeah, we're not advocating. The Second Amendment isn't about protecting sportsmen.
No.
It's not, you know, the founding fathers had nowhere in there were they talking about protecting the rights of sportsmen.
I have an AR-15 and my friend wanted me to go hunting with him. I said, I don't have this to shoot animals.
I don't have any hunting rifles in my house. I have checks and balances in my house.
That's right. This is for government agents if they ever start arresting dissidents. But I'm not going to go peacefully. I'm going to go out like Scarface. I'm not going to some re-education camp.
And
say hello to my little friend.
Note to my listeners, John Zmarak is my attempt at suicide and political and public. You know, John, I have you on trying to be doxxed out of existence, and it just doesn't work. Your shows are my most listened to episodes. I don't know what's going on. Every time you say things like that, I'm like, oh, that's it. This is my last episode. And then I'm going to get a note. We sold 3,000 subscriptions to Epic Times on the last Zmarak. What? Yeah, it was unbelievable. Keep it up. People, whatever you're doing, keep it up. I'm like, all right, I'll have Zmarak back on against my better judgment. All right, here we go. We'll sell some pillows.
I'm the one who's willing to ask who farted in the jacuzzi.
Oh, there we go.
Everybody smells it, but nobody's willing to acknowledge it.
Yo, I can tell you as a veteran, I'm a father. Look. But on Memorial Day, when there was no talk about those who are deceased, and what I did see on Drudge Report, which I know you haven't gone to since the 90s, which I commend you. I go to the Drudge Report the way when there's a car accident in front of one's house, and you don't want to look out the window, but you keep looking out the window going, oh my gosh, it's worse. Oh no. The Drudge Report on Memorial Day was all about how we need to repeal the Second Amendment. That's a great Memorial Day message. And it was all about children that have died because of broken homes. Can you imagine if every time there was a school shooting, we talked about maybe getting rid of no-fault divorce?
Right.
I think we should. Every time, we should run in front of cameras, shake and cry, and go, it's 40 years of no, 50 years of no fault divorce. Look at what it's done. There were no,
right?
You know, my grandfather in Harvey, Illinois, which is urban, right on the border of Chicago, told me he would take a rifle to and from school and they would shoot rabbits on the way home and the students would put their rifles in the back of their public school.
Wow. That's what they should probably do in Chicago now, but for different reasons.
Well, no, and this is the other problem. There's a high school in Chicago, Harper High School. Several years ago, there was an episode on This American Life that was really heartbreaking. Chicago, which has the toughest gun restrictions in America, this one high school, Harper High School, during this year, in the height of the Iraq War, This American Life documented that you were more likely to be shot and wounded as a student at Harper High School than as a Marine in Iraq.
Wow.
And, you know, maybe if you had to send your child to Harper High School or to the Marines, you'd be better off sending them to the Marines. But, you know, we're not allowed to talk about that. Why? Because, like, again, anarcho-terrorism. The goal is gun laws, not protect
tyranny.
Not narco
tyranny.
The goal is not to protect children, because if it was, we would be having regular conversations about the violence in our inner cities. But that doesn't fit the narrative, because the gun laws there are the gun laws they want everywhere. And so they maybe they don't care about those students as much as they care about. I don't know. I don't know what.
Have you ever seen anyone as happy as a Democrat after a school shooting?
I mean, Beto O'Rourke was in ecstasy.
It's like a dog in a butcher shop. I mean, Beto O'Rourke, who when he was in high school was writing about fantasies about massacring his fellow students, but he did not become a school shooter. He grew up to become something even more destructive—a Democrat politician. And they will.
He's still a misanthrope. He still hates people. I mean, you can see that he's a hater of people.
Well, right, but now he can use the government to put that to enact that. The Democrats respond to school shootings like vampires, vampires at a blood bank. I mean, this is an excuse. This is an excuse. This is a reason to do what we've always wanted. And of course, none of the measures they propose have anything to do with school shootings or would prevent them. The nihilist, psychotic culture to which young people are subject, where their teachers are encouraging them to cut their genitals off in second and third grade. You know, maybe you should have your genitals cut off. Have you considered cutting your genitals off? Maybe you need to cut your genitals off and take puberty blockers. When you're teaching this kind of insanity in schools, and are you really that surprised that people engage in nihilistic, insane behavior? But again, it's all about disarming the populace so that the government can control us like veal calves for the slaughter. Look what they did during COVID. They locked us in our homes. They fired us from our jobs. They kicked people out of the military. They closed our churches. They kept abortion clinics and liquor stores open. That was a test run. That was a dry run for a total totalitarian takeover of society. How do we know it was not about preserving lives, that the Democrats were not just ill-informed and stupid, but in fact were malevolent? We know that from the phenomenon that I call the blue state nursing home genocide. And this is something that has been forgotten and cannot be forgotten. At the height of the COVID panic, it was obvious that that old people, frail people, the kind of people who need 24-hour care and therefore are in nursing homes, were the most vulnerable, the ones most likely to die. A sane policy, like the one that Ron DeSantis did in Florida, would have been to protect those people from being exposed to COVID. One blue state governor after another, Cuomo, Whitmer, Newsom, and several others, transferred COVID patients into nursing homes, where they promptly spread COVID and killed tens of thousands of Korean War veterans and grandmothers. And these poor nursing home people were locked away. Their families couldn't visit them. They couldn't have the sacraments. They couldn't have priests. They couldn't have ministers visit them. They didn't get Christian burial. They were incinerated as biomedical waste, like unborn babies or pets from kill shelters. tens of thousands of them. And you know what? You know what's interesting on how coordinated this was? There were empty beds on the U.S. hospital ships that Donald Trump sent to New York. There were empty beds at the Javits Center. There were empty beds at Samaritan's Purse in Central Park. Cuomo wouldn't use them. He put the COVID patients in the nursing homes. Now, why, you ask? Well, they needed to spike the death rates. Not enough people were actually dying of COVID to justify the lockdown and, more importantly, the changes in voting, the mail-in balloting, the lax ballot regulations that made the steal of the 2020 election possible. So, yes, I am saying blue state governors in a coordinated effort murdered thousands of elderly Americans in order to justify changing the voting laws so that they could steal the 2020 election and lock down the economy and force us to get vaccinated to test our compliance with a totalitarian regime.
You know, John, what
I am asserting that.
I believe everything you're saying, but at the same time, it sounds crazy to me. I believe it, but listening to you say it, it's like, yeah, John sounds crazy, but I believe everything he's saying. Do you know?
Would it sound crazy if I said 2 years ago the teachers were going to be encouraging kids to have sex change operations?
Yes.
But, hey, it's happening.
And normal folks that are afraid of the blob will just remain silent. Bill Maher, who is heading towards canonization right now, in my mind. This guy, Bill Maher, on his show, I haven't watched it since I've been on it, you know, in the 90s. He's so brave. He came out last week with a rant on the LGBT community and the use of hormone blockers on children is utterly ridiculous. And his audience, you know, didn't know if they could laugh or not. And when they finally realized it was okay, then they enthusiastically applauded. But people are sitting around saying, are we allowed to oppose this? Would this make me hate? Am I going to be called hateful if I protect children from being damaged? But, you know, I remember when I was an after-school A-plus group leader in college. I mean, when I was a college student working at an elementary school, I watched as the principal stood under a DARE sign and students lined up like they were going to Holy Communion and literally placed in their mouth, on their tongue, Ritalin. A line of students, wow. You know, so it started with that. And now, you know, now we're going to have principals. Oh, and you know, I don't know if I said it. The principal was standing under a DARE sign, you know, the anti-drug campaign sign, and she was shoving drugs into their mouth. And now we're going to be injecting them with hormones. It is utterly unbelievable. But John, I want to go back to everything that they're doing sounds unbelievable. Transgender Story Hour is insane, but it's happening. Yeah.
I think part of how they get away with it is the things they're doing are so crazy that if you talk about them, you sound crazy. Even though they're true, you still sound like a crazy person because that's so outrageous. People, you don't want to believe that the Democrats and the establishment Republicans really are our enemies, really are a hostile oligarchy. But then you look at little things, little tells, like glitches in the Matrix. George W. Bush equated the January 6th peaceful protesters with the 9/11 terrorists who attacked New York City and Washington, D.C. This is the guy who we voted for as a Republican pro-life Christian president. He thinks the January 6th protesters are as bad as Al-Qaeda terrorist murderers. That level of hatred for ordinary people, that level of fear of people power, fear of the population. That's like on the level of like Soviet bureaucrats in the 70s being afraid of dissidents. That's like the Polish communist government talking about solidarity.
Yeah, they better be afraid. They have good reason to fear us. We're coming.
So I think this massacre in Uvalde, this horrendous thing, I don't think it's going to have the gun-grabbing impact that the Democrats, you know, are slavering over because the police misconduct was so outrageous. The fact that the police stopped parents from rescuing their own kids, but that exposes this is what the police are for now. This is what the military is for. It is to arrest Kyle Rittenhouse. It is to arrest Jake Gardner. It is to arrest the McCluskeys. It is to disarm us so that the political mobs can terrorize us burn our homes.
It's to have the investigation invest single moms who are concerned about what's happening in their schools to their daughters who are responsible and show up at parent teachers conferences.
Those are the people.
Yeah, we better invest. You showed up at a parent teachers conference. Do they go to church every Sunday? Oh, what were they upset about? Oh, a boy raping a girl in a bathroom? The FBI. They're terrorists.
Well, there's plenty of historical precedent for this. If you want to look at one of the most evil societies of which we have any historical record, it has to be Sparta in ancient Greece. Sparta was a military oligarchy with a small group of people who were like professional pirates running the city. And they and the slave population, there were like four or five slaves, Messenian slaves, for every Spartan citizen. And in order to keep these people down, they would look for any member of the Helots who showed any kind of initiative, any kind of drive, any kind of talent, and they would kill that person. They would periodically have contests to see who will win a race, who will organize an event, and they would sponsor these events for these poor slaves, and people would take part, and the winners were killed because they could be potential leaders of a slave revolt. That is how our regime is looking at anyone who is active in politics on the conservative side.
So, John,
they are a potential revolutionary.
So on that note, the short story that woke me up, I guess they call it red pilling. I was red pilled as a seventh grader when a teacher told me to read this short story. And she said, I think this story would resonate with you. And I read it and I thought it was about me. I thought Kurt Vonnegut was telling my story. And that story, you know, was Harrison Bergeron.
Right.
Harrison Bergeron was enslaved, shackled, distracted, intentionally distracted, addled with sandbags because he displayed intelligence, enthusiasm, and a sense of adventure. So everyone needs to give their child Harrison Bergeron. And then I read Anthem, and then it was over. Right. There was nothing I could do. I had read those. I read the novella Anthem, and I read Harrison Bergeron by Kurt Vonnegut. And those students, I think, if young people read Harrison Bergeron today, it's about them.
Right, absolutely.
They're coming for you. They're going to distract you with that phone. They're going to inject puberty blockers into you. They're going to shove Ritalin down your throat. They're not going to let you read Virgil or Huckleberry Finn. No.
They're going to tear down every statue built before 1970 because it's sort of racist to make anyone study history before the world winked into existence with his birth. You're supposed to think the world began when you were born. It will end when you die.
It's The Giver. It's The Giver. Yeah. Have you read The Giver?
Oh, I love it. In the movie, you and I wrote a review.
That's right.
How The Giver was the most powerful pro-life movie of the year. The Giver is a very good example. They want people to live in the moment for momentary pleasures as if we were animals. But even animals have more of a memory than these people want us to have. They want us to forget that they made up the Russia collusion hoax, that they lied about the Hunter Biden laptop, that they lied about the side effects of the COVID vaccine and its efficacy. They lied about the threat COVID poses to young people. They purposely dumped COVID patients in nursing homes in order to jack up the death statistics. They closed our churches and banned our political meetings. Governors assumed emergency powers that later were ruled unconstitutional, like Gretchen Whitmer.
And they knew
the FBI.
When they arrested me, I was the first person I know of in the United States of America handcuffed and shoved into a police car protesting COVID lockdowns.
Yeah,
and
good for you.
I went to jail long enough to make my kids a rosary out of toilet paper. That was my little souvenir for them, because I always my motto in life is take a stumbling block and turn it into a stepping stone. So I said, I'm going to take this opportunity to teach my kids a lesson, and I'm coming out of here to hand them a rosary that I made. And I was afraid they'd let me out sooner than I, because I'm not the most arts and crafts guy in the world. So I made this rosary, and they never pressed charges against me. Why? Because they knew they couldn't. So they sent me my bail money back. Why? Because they didn't want it to go to court. So they arrested people week after week after week, never pressing charges. Why? Because they wanted to continue to intimidate and arrest people week after week after week. So they knew they were breaking the law. They knew they were breaking the law. And they were...
Let's not forget, they faked a kidnapping plot against the governor of a state. They sent FBI agents to recruit people for the FBI's own fake plot to kidnap Governor Whitmer and execute her. You see, on some level, they knew Governor Whitmer was behaving as a tyrant and deserved to be overthrown by the people. And the state's own Supreme Court ruled months later that her seizure of emergency powers was unconstitutional. Andrew Cuomo used the COVID emergency to seize guns. He declared a state of emergency based on COVID and then was using it to override the Second Amendment. There are so many signs.
Remember when they ripped
so many smoking guns.
They went to New York. They went to, interestingly enough, they went to the wealthy white neighborhoods and they took, what was the machines they took from the hospitals?
Ventilators.
Yeah, they took the ventilators from like Westchester County, brought them to the inner city, and then they found out the ventilators were killing people. So were they protecting wealthy white folks while they were pretending that they cared so much about black and brown people who suffer more, and we find out actually you were killing them? How did a governor think he could go around stealing medical equipment from communities? But they did. Now in California, I'm going to say something else that's crazy. Now in California, there is a bill that is moving along, will probably be signed into law, knowing California, that says you can kill your child up until 28 days after birth. Doesn't now, sound true.
Same people,
sounds like I made that up.
These same people say that a woman's right to privacy extends to the point where if a child survives an abortion attempt and is outside the womb, you can kill it anyway because that's what the woman wants. And all of this is based on the privacy and liberty rights in the Constitution, according to Roe v. Wade and Casey v. Planned Parenthood. But that same woman, they want... would have to produce her vaccine passport if she wants to eat at TGI Fridays. She has to show it to the hostess.
Really unbelievable. Yeah, that's right.
They don't even pretend that their arguments have to make sense anymore because they're just like schoolyard thugs. But they're schoolyard thugs with the government behind them. And I want to explain something. This requires a little bit of historical background. My friend Paul Gottfried did a great book called Antifascism, The History of a Crusade. Antifa, the thuggish organization where they wear hockey masks and black hoods and they take over college campuses and they take over neighborhoods. This organization has existed since the 1920s, continuously, when it was founded by the Soviet Communist Party, by Vladimir Lenin and his staff. And it was created as a street fighting organization to try to seize power for communists in various countries. It was especially active in Germany. These were the people who were fighting against the Nazis, but also against the Catholics and against the labor unions and against the democratic socialists. They were competing with the Nazis to be the ones who created a totalitarian state. They lost that battle with the Nazis, but they learned from it. The way the Nazis took power, quite literally, in the late 20s and early 30s, they created the brown shirts as a street militia that would beat up their opponents. They would get in street fights. Then they would be hauled before a judge. The judge would see, oh, those are communists you were beating up? And they would give them a slap on the wrist. And they would send the communists to prison for defending themselves. Antifa noticed this. They took notes. And now that's what's happening here. If Antifa attacks your neighborhood and you defend your neighborhood using your illegal gun, you're going to prison. Antifa isn't. That's how totalitarians take power. They get corrupt, sympathetic local officials who side with one political group against the other. They enforce the laws unevenly. So the January 6th protesters get solitary confinement. The people who burned courthouses in Portland get nothing. They don't even have an appearance ticket. They don't even have bail. That is how you establish control over the streets, city by city, and eventually the Nazis had the whole country. That's literally the Nazi playbook. Antifa, which observed the Nazis firsthand, has been existing since then, is putting that playbook into effect in America, and the Democrats are 100% on board with it.
How do we get conservatives, like I'm sure some listening to this show, that mow their lawn, pay their taxes, work hard, read George Will, and love Mitt Romney? How do we get them to understand what's at stake here and to step up?
If you still love Mitt Romney at this point, there's no hope for you.
Okay.
I mean
but you know what I mean, right?
The guys. Yeah.
You know, the type of the conservative I'm talking about who can't get his hands dirty, and we can't, you know, we don't want to say things that could be embarrassing or make people uncomfortable. Yet, literally, the wraiths of Mordor are swarming around. I mean, how do you get them to engage in the battle against, gaslighting children to take dangerous hormone blockers?
I would say start reading Revolver News, as well as the Epoch Times. Start reading Revolver News, which breaks the story. They're the ones who exposed. It was the FBI who made up the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping plot. So read Revolver News. Read American Greatness. American Greatness has completely replaced National Review as the conservative outlet in America. Now we know National Review's publisher is in a gay marriage. So it's not that surprising that National Review has become the enforcer of the LGBT agenda among Republicans. Read Revolver News. Watch Steve Bannon's War Room. Every day, he has courageous people who are fighting election fraud, who are fighting vaccine mandates, who are fighting against all the different ways that our one-party oligarchy is trying to subject us to day-to-day control and take away our traditional God-given inherited liberties. If you're going to leave behind a country that's less free for your kids than you inherited from your parents, you should be ashamed of that.
Yeah, not an option. Babylon B, I was thinking about this morning. What does the left have to compete with Steve Bannon, Babylon B, Epoch Times? Like the energy, but the problem is it needs to erupt beyond, it's sort of stuck. We need to break out into reaching those American, a lot of good Americans who wake up every day, go to work, take their kids to school, make breakfast, pack lunches, coach Little League. We really have to break through to those folks, right?
Well, I think we're making progress. Even the neocon pirate, Dan Crenshaw, he just backed down on supporting red flag laws. Now, red flag laws, that's an example. It sounds so sensible. If someone seems unstable or violent, we take their guns away for a while. What could be more sensible and prudent than that? Even Donald Trump for a while was supporting red flag laws. The problem with red flag laws is they're completely lawless. Red flag laws mean that if your ex-wife is ticked off at you, she can call the police and say you're unstable. There will be a police raid of your house. They will take away your guns. And then you have to prove to a judge that you are responsible and safe, and you have to pay to fight in court to get back your constitutional gun rights because one person made an anonymous phone call.
Yeah, I don't see how I would be able to own guns with red flag logs. You just listen to this podcast, someone's going to flag me. They'd read your they'd read your writings on at the stream, John, you'd be red flagged. Do you know when some – my friend Destiny De La Rosa, I love her, New Wave feminist, got to have her on the show. She had sent me a text. Hey, check this out, Jason. This is common sense. We should all be able to support this. I don't know what country it was from, but one of the questions that you had to fill out was you needed two people that you had conjugal relationships with in the past 12 months to write a review of you. And I don't know if this was legitimate, if she got hoodwinked. Like, what? Like, first of all, what?
If you're celibate or if you're married and monogamous, you can't have a gun.
Maybe if you had an emotional or social or so, I don't know what that means. I guess promiscuity and being able to maintain good relationships with the folks you've been promiscuous with are requirements. Now, if that's the case, I don't know how anyone passes that, right? I mean, I don't imagine how you're living a promiscuous life and then you have everyone in the past 12 months. Yeah, oh, that was great. He was wonderful. Great guy. It all ended well. Let him have guns. Now, come on. This is crazy. If right to privacy is important, but yet now to buy a weapon, you're going to ask me these types of intimate questions. Again, I don't know if this was real. It was presented to me as if it was real.
In Colorado, they have red flag laws, and they have been abused this way. Angry ex-girlfriends. Let's say you fire your lawn person. You don't like the way he's doing your lawn. He can call in a red flag on you. And the burden of proof is on the accused, which is the opposite of our justice system. Currently, we have background checks for guns. I had to go through them to get my guns. And if I had ever been involuntarily committed, or if I had ever committed a felony, I wouldn't be able to get those guns. Problem is, people lie on the forms, and it's not enforced. You know who lied on his background check for his gun and was never punished? Hunter Biden. The president's son lied on his criminal background check when he bought guns, so he violated the law and is unpunished. And yet this same senile diaper-wearing meat puppet is going to try to take away our guns. So, I mean, if that doesn't red pill people, they are really, really attached to the Matrix, and maybe they should stay plugged in.
Yeah, I think it's just they like they're victims, and they get to walk around, and they know sooner or later it'll be their turn to walk up the temple steps and have their head lopped off. But until then, let's just not fight back. You know, let's just go about our life. And, of course, all of us have a responsibility. When you get called, you just walk up the temple steps, put your head on the altar, and it'll get lopped off. And how dare you fight that? You know, I think that's the deal. I think that's what – they should just say that.
And there, the people out there like Rod Dreher and David French are out there telling us that's the Christian thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave never – I mean, I would love David French to apologize to the people of Iraq. National Review, I know, every time you bring up his name, my blood boils just because I've witnessed the hell on earth that these people unleashed, and they have never apologized.
I was in a debate against David French, moderated by Ross Douthat. It was sort of a real-time written debate that appeared in the New York Times. And he was saying that Christians should not vote for Donald Trump because of his moral character, because of what he said to Access Hollywood. And I said, well, what about George W. Bush allowing 750,000 Iraqi Christians to be killed or driven from their homes? To me, that's a lot more serious than trash talk and locker room talk about a woman 20 years ago. And David French said, well, that's policy. We're not talking about policy. We're talking about moral character. And I said, I think somebody who permits a genocide has a much worse moral character than somebody who engages in a little locker room talk. What the hell are you talking about?
But I think he's sincere. I think he's
genuinely. How can you sincerely be David French?
He's a reprobate. He's upside down. I think he is was more startled by that locker room talk because it was a white guy in a suit and they shouldn't talk that way. But you know those people over there facing genocide, having their daughters ripped from them and chained up and forced into a lifetime of sex slavery. I mean, that's not nearly as offensive to David French. Not nearly offensive at all. Having monasteries that have been there since the second century, you know, blown up. That's not nearly as offensive. Having Yazidi children being ground up and served to their parents as a meal. That happened by ISIS. That's not nearly as offensive as a white guy in a suit saying, you know, grab him by the whatever. And I think that's true. I think in his warped mind, and he doesn't understand us. He looks at us and goes, how do they not get it? Yeah. He would be listening to this and he'd be going, yeah, exactly.
So you're saying he is just the Ned Flanders character from The Simpsons come to life.
I mean, I even think Ned Flanders would be heartbroken over. Yeah.
Am I being unfair to Ned Flanders?
I think Ned Flanders actually loved Jesus and loved his neighbors. I really think Ned Flanders isn't real. He's a cartoon character. But I think that
he is realer and more three-dimensional than David French. That's true. What you're saying.
I was in a green room with that guy once.
Character. Yeah, sorry.
And I was looking at him, you know, like one would look at an alien, and I was just looking at him going, My Lord, thank you, Jesus. I didn't understand them. And I still don't understand them. How they can communicate in public. If I was a public advocate for the Iraq war, and then for the early withdrawal, and then for the toppling of Assad, I would be in a log cabin, drunk, doing crossword puzzles right now.
Yeah, I would,
reading
I would have changed my
Louis
name.
L'Amour novels. Where's Jason Jones? Oh, he's got a log. He's got a cabin in the Ozarks. He fishes. He's on the White River, usually drunk. And when he's not drunk, he's drinking coffee, nursing a hangover, reading Louis L'Amour novels. Does he have any opinions on this foreign? No, he would never, ever again. Jay, he said he would never, ever. He's so ashamed of himself. He would never, ever again open his mouth about asserting opinion about anything ever.
Shamelessness is the one thing that seems to be the common characteristic. I mean, David Frum is still telling Americans how we should run our foreign policy. This Canadian neocon warmonger who said that you were unpatriotic if you opposed the Iraq war. You were un-American if you opposed the Iraq war. He wasn't even American. And now he's managed to worm his way back into the heart of the left by bashing Trump as if Trump were some kind of fascist. The left always accuses us of what they're actually planning to do. It's psychological projection. They want a totalitarian state. They want to suppress free speech. They want to get rid of free elections. They want to take control of people's children and brainwash them into an ideology. They want all the things they projected onto Trump with their own secret, twisted fantasies. And now, when we're governed by the secret committee formerly known as Joe Biden, they are going hog wild and pig crazy. And you got Republicans like Mitch McConnell and John Cornyn of Texas who are helping them, like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. These traitor Republicans are the real enemy. I was delighted and relieved when George P. Bush lost his fight to get the nomination for Attorney General of Texas. Ken Paxton, a great Attorney General, fought against the steal of the 2020 election. So he was targeted. The FBI manufactured charges against him that they won't investigate and won't drop. George P. Bush, who called his current job as land commissioner in Texas dog catcher while running for Attorney General, he ran to be our Attorney General, and he promised he wouldn't do what Ken Paxton was doing. He wouldn't do anything. He promised to do nothing as a Texas Attorney General. Thank God the voters rejected him. But it's the George P. Bushes and the George W. Bushes and the Dan Crenshaws and Nikki Haley's of this world, they are our real enemy because they want to turn the Republican Party into a pale Xerox of the Democratic Party. Plus, they want pointless foreign wars.
Yeah, I think their days are numbered. I want to do, my dream in life is to have a reality show with David Frum, David French, Bill Kristol, and we put them on like a little island. And
we hunt them?
It's
and we
like hunt Lord them? Of the Flies. And no, and they just have to do simple tasks, you know. They just have to try to live on an island that wouldn't be that hard to live on, like fish. They have to fish and pick fruit. And then, and every once in a while, like on the third episode, you know, we'd have like Sirajuddin Haqqani show up on a boat and he'd have to live with them. I would just, this is my dream. If we could ever pull this off, this is, anyone listening, I'll do, if you can make this happen, if you work for like MTV, I think this would be great on MTV.
Can Father James Martin be there as the religious leader?
He'd be their chaplain. But in fairness, yeah. I think James Martin would be with us on these pointless foreign wars. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe.
We'd have to put him on another show. I wouldn't want, you know what? I have too much respect for James Martin to put him with those people.
All right.
I don't want James Martin there. I think they need a chaplain.
Okay, George Weigel. Be their
George Weigel would be their George Weigel would be their theologian. Yeah, they would have to consult him. Oh yeah. George Weigel. Yeah, they would go to him and he would write boring government reports and then they would be published as a book. Because that when I read George Weigel, I'm like, this is like something I read, when I had to work at the VA in college.
I had to edit him. I was his editor on a book, so pity me. I also had to edit a book by Pope Francis. That was a nightmarish experience. This is when he was just elected, and so we didn't know that he was a Marxist. We didn't know that he was a pantheist.
When you edited Pope, was it a book that Pope Francis wrote, or were you editing his ghostwriter?
No, these were his old sermons from Buenos Aires, which somebody had published, and we were republishing it, and it was my job to clean up the English and put in good subheads. So I had to read it, and I tell you, I couldn't tell whether he was a liberal or conservative. I just knew he was a nasty piece of work. I just thought, I wouldn't want to get this jackass in confession. He would be manipulative. He would be cruel. This is a nasty, bad seed kind of person.
It's funny you should say that. I went to confession once, and I wanted – it was one of those times I'm like, I need a soft confession. I'm going to go to this leftist priest, and it'll be kid gloves. And it was, as you said, it was very manipulative and cruel, and I thought, huh. That was a bad decision there.
Yeah. All right. Goodbye, everyone. Please read me. I write 5 days a week. Read me on stream.org. Oh, these are my beagles, so I need to go.
All right. There they go. Peace out. All right, everybody. I'm going to be doing more shows from the road. I'm going to be having some exciting guests. But this episode, as always, is being brought to you by the Vulnerable People Project, standing in solidarity with the most vulnerable people in the world when it is most challenging, when others have fled, when others dare not go, we go. And you can go as well, standing shoulder to shoulder with us at thegreatcampaign.org. And you know it, the best pillow in the world sponsors the show. Go to mypillow.com, use the code Jones. Also, subscribe to Epoch Times at iReadEpoch.com and use the code Jason Jones for your deep discount. Until next time, the Jason Jones Show.
This has been the Jason Jones Show, powered by Mudhouse Media.